The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so it's 6 o'clock. I think we'll get started. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, teaching Happy Hour. Nikki Mirgafori and I alternate on weeks. For the most part, we alternate. Sometimes we're switching or one of us isn't here and we have a guest teacher, but... And the theme for these Wednesday evenings is cultivating loving kindness and other heart qualities, including compassion and joy, maybe even some equanimity. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that get in the way. What are some of the things that hinder or obstruct our developing loving kindness or experiencing loving kindness or sharing or expressing our loving kindness? So, and maybe I'll just jump right in. Anger. Right? When we're in the midst of anger, we very often are not expressing loving kindness or experiencing it. In fact, it's maybe like the opposite. In the classic Buddhist teachings, loving kindness is an antidote to anger. So in some ways, kind of anger is the antidote to loving kindness. But anger is a complex emotion. It's not a, a straightforward, simple, just one monolithic experience. It includes strands of hurt and disappointment, fear, sadness. These types of things kind of get tangled into and meshed together and sometimes get expressed of sadness. And not only that, but part of what is true for all emotions, and especially true perhaps with anger, is that there's a mixture. There might be some bodily sensations, our face might get red, there might be some tightness in the throat or constriction of the heart center or something like this, as well as thoughts, like, I can't believe that, how dare they shouldn't have done that, or something like this. So there's physical sensations, there's mental sensations, and these kind of come together and help kind of like support and fuel this sense of anger. For some of us, anger can become a habit. It can become a way that kind of without thinking, we just kind of like slip into and use that as a way to respond when things are difficult or things aren't the way that we think that they should be. And when we get tangled up with it and identified with it in some way, then it can rule us and have us do things or say things or that we later regret. We kind of lose some of our clarity, lose some of our steadiness. It's true that anger has some positive aspects to it, that it has some energy associated with it, and sometimes that energy can be helpful, especially when it's the anger that it's appropriate and wise for us to do something, though the anger... The energy associated anger can support with that, can support that. Of course, it's true. I mean, I'm saying when it's appropriate and when it's wise, right? We all have this experience of doing things and with anger that turns out not to be wise, turns out not to be helpful. And another positive aspect of anger is that sometimes we need, our anger is telling us something that maybe we didn't quite notice before, for whatever reason. It's telling us something's wrong. We need to pay attention. Something isn't right. So it can be a signal to us. All emotions can be this way. But as I said, anger can have negative emotions too. It gets expressed as often as hostility, causes harm to other people, to ourselves. And then our mind kind of becomes narrow and we end up with this tunnel vision that we can't quite see clearly. We just get zoomed in on this small thing. So I could talk a lot about how to work with anger. I'm just going to mention a few things here. The first is, if we can we turn away from the object of what we're anger, that thing out there that is the way that we don't want it to be or shouldn't be or is an injustice or whatever it is, can we turn away from that thing out there and turn towards the subjective experience? This is what anger feels like. This is a way in which we can get to know it, get to know anger. This is true for all of our mental states, including loving kindness, which we're going to turn towards here in a moment. That all these things that we want to cultivate and develop and or we want to work with and diminish, we need to understand them better. We need to experience them, know them, recognize them, be able to have access to them so that we can engage with them. So one way to work with anger is to, how does it feel? What are the experiences in the body? What are some of the experiences in the mind? And we do this with wisdom. If it's going to tip us over into something and we're overwhelmed, there's no reason to go into that. We can just be a slight like, oh yeah, I'm angry. And maybe that's all that's appropriate for us to do at that time. But there may be a time when we could say, oh, I'm angry, and anger feels like this. My face is hot. I feel like I want to run. And I was not in my belly. Something like this. It might be appropriate for us to just do a little gentle inquiry. It's a gentle inquiry. Is there a belief underneath this anger that's fueling it? How dare they do this to me? Don't they know who I am? Or we have this idea of how things should be or how we should be. Without kind of making a big giant effort of trying to figure that out, just a gentle inquiry and see if any answers bubble up. Is there a belief? So just getting to know this very human emotion that all of us have, all of us experience. Just getting to know it, experience it, can help us so it doesn't help get in the way of our loving kindness. So it doesn't obstruct our beautiful intentions of showing up in the world with an open heart, with a warm heart. With care and concern. And this way we can have more freedom in our life, more ease, more choice, instead of being pushed around by our emotions. So with that as an introduction, I'm going to talk a little bit about how to cultivate loving kindness. For those of you who've been here before, this will be familiar. The way that I've been teaching it here is that we do loving kindness with three aspects. The first is to bring to mind a lovable being. That is, someone for whom it's easy to feel love. Somebody for whom we have this warmth, this warm-heartedness, this openness, this care, maybe some concern. Somebody with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship with. And then we use the sensations in the body to help support us, just like I talked about earlier with anger, to feel that. What does it feel like to have warmth, care, concern, respect, love, kindness? And allow ourselves to become familiar with those feelings and to allow those feelings to support us and to guide us. That's the second aspect. And the third aspect is we'll be using phrases as a way to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness, to develop loving kindness. turns out, right? Just this kind of a certain amount of repetition and this of and abiding in, hanging out in some loving kindness makes it more apt that our mind will naturally go that way on its own. So tonight we'll start with a lovable being that can be someone you know and you have an uncomplicated relationship with. Maybe it's somebody you don't know. It could also be a puppy or a kitten or a baby or something else in which it's easy to have this warm-hearted feeling. And then we'll move on to ourselves. Sometimes it's has not quite the same experience of sending loving kindness to others, but to have it for ourselves. And then we'll do a little bit of equanimity practice at the end to kind of help help us keep our steadiness with our loving kindness. So with that as an introduction to the practice, let's take an alert, upright posture, but a posture that expresses our intention to cultivate loving kindness, but also a posture that's comfortable. So you're welcome to go get some cushions, to change your seat, to move around, do something like this, so that you can be comfortable for this time. There's no need to feel like you're struggling with the physical body. I could do another talk on as another hindrance or obstruction or to loving kindness. If we're in a lot of pain, it's difficult. It can be done, but it's not easy. And then let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths. We use these breaths as a way to kind of connect with our bodies, with our experience. And then returning the breath to normal, trusting that the breath, that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. And then to help support a sense of ease, sense of gentleness, we can just check in with different areas of the body and see if there's some obvious places of tension. Maybe around the eyes, with a jaw. Is there common places to hold tension? The shoulders. Allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. The upper back, the lower back. Just feel them. We're not trying to force anything or make anything happen. It might be that bringing our awareness to different areas of the body allows a certain softening, relaxation. And check in with the chest, the belly. Feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel connected, grounded, letting gravity hold you. The upper legs, lower legs, the feet, another place to feel grounded, steadied. The arms and the hands. And to begin, We'll do mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. We'll start here. So you can place your awareness on the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the feeling of air coming in and out of the nose. Choose whichever place is vivid, is supportive, is accessible. And just very simply, gently, rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. If you find yourself lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, gently return to the sensations of breathing. If your mind slips off the movements of the abdomen or chest or the feeling of air, in a kind way, you can bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. What does an inhale feel like from the inside? So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be a refuge, can be a touchstone, can be a place to return. If you ever feel overwhelmed or confused or lost, not quite sure what to do, you can always come back to this practice, sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice. Bring to mind a lovable being. This doesn't have to be a high definition imagery, just any way that makes sense for you. Bring this person to mind, or this being to mind. Hopefully, this is a person that, like, you have a little inner smile when you think of them. And touch in and see, how does it feel in the heart center? Maybe there's some warmth, some softness. Maybe not too. It's perfectly fine if there isn't. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness and sharing it with this lovable being, can repeat these phrases. Can repeat them silently after me. while keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe you can check in with any sensations in the body that are supportive of loving kindness. Maybe there's a little corner of your experience that's well-being or contentment or ease. If so, you can allow that experience to get as big as it would like. We're not forcing anything. We're not making anything. We're just allowing. And it's perfectly fine. If you can't feel anything in particular and you're not feeling a sense of warmth or well-being, that's perfectly fine. And you're welcome to modify the phrases, something that may be more resonant or meaningful for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit, so you can practice at your own pace. Maybe with your own phrases. Now we'll build on this foundation of loving kindness that we've been developing. And we'll just expand it to include ourselves. Of course, we deserve loving kindness. Of course, we do. So, in the same way, bring yourself to mind that might be the felt experience of sitting here now, or maybe it's a visualization of yourself. And some people like to visualize themselves when they were young, maybe even as children or even toddlers. Whatever feels the most accessible or easiest place in which to develop loving kindness or cultivate or build upon loving kindness for yourself. And you can check in with the body, see if there's been any shift, any changes. It's perfectly fine if there is. But if there is a feeling of warmth, care, love, can you extend that to yourself? We'll just modify the phrases by changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to support our loving kindness, our well wishing, our goodwill, our benevolence, we can practice some equanimity in a way that helps us keep our balance, helps us stay steady. So, to do this, it can be helpful to bring to mind somebody who is only mildly bothersome, mildly annoying, mildly irritating, not the most irritating, annoying person. Mildly. We're starting where it's easiest. Bring this person to mind. And of course, we wish them happiness too. Maybe if they had more happiness, they might behave in a way that is different. So bringing this person to mind, we can repeat this phrase. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. The remaining time of this meditation period, and check in and see what feels like the right meditation to do now. Continue with equanimity, maybe some loving kindness. What would be supportive? And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the floor or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in that meditation, I started us off with some just a relaxation of the body and the sensations of breathing, mindfulness of breathing, and then cultivating loving kindness where it's easy, starting with a loved one, a lovable being, and expanded it out to including for ourselves, hopefully building on the foundation we had done earlier. Some people find it difficult to do loving kindness for themselves. And then a little bit of equanimity practice, recognizing that what we can control and what we can't control. And then even before this, I talked a little bit about anger and how sometimes anger can get in the way of our loving kindness, and it can become a habit sometimes to respond with anger. But we can work with anger, can get to know it. That's kind of the first step. But in a way that is with wisdom. So you may know that we don't want to get into overwhelm. We don't want to like tax the system. We don't want to feel overstimulated. So you know your life, you know your inner life best. So how to work with anger, how to get to know it, use a way that makes sense for you. So with that as a little recap, I'd like to invite you to get into groups of three. And you can just talk about what was that like, this either the little talk about anger or the guided meditation. You're free to talk about anything you like, including I slept through the whole thing, I thought it was great, or whatever it might be. We're doing less crosstalk in this, and like we're not giving advice to each other. We're not telling, well, you really should be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that or something like this. But instead, just an opportunity to speak and for others to listen. So can we, this loving kindness that we've been developing, can we use it as a way to just show up when other people are speaking? Just as a way to witness what they have to share. So if you want to get into groups of three and talk for a few minutes, and then I'll ring the bell at the end. You're welcome to rearrange the chairs or do anything you like that would be helpful. Great. So now I'd like to hear from you. A little comments or questions. It could be either about the instructions, the guided meditation, the small group discussion, or anything that would be helpful. Maybe you learned something new about yourself, talking with others or having this guided meditation, or maybe you have a new idea. Maybe you have something that you'd like to take away, felt like a learning. Yes, we're using the microphone so everybody can hear. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Is it a green light? No. Maybe I put the batteries in upside down, maybe. Thank you, Ake.
Thank you for leading us tonight, Diane. I needed that, and it's always such a respite to come here and kind of forget about everything else. I really liked how you talked about the anger portion in the beginning of your teaching, because it was really visual for me, and it reminded me of when I get angry, how I feel, and if I act out, how bad I really feel, like sick to my stomach, and you know, then that negative talk comes in. And just from you speaking about that tonight, I'm going to bring a lot more awareness to that. Like, okay, it's here, but there's something else I can do. I can pause. I can breathe.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that person to get angry. And nothing's that important to be angry about. So anyway, so thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, once we start to kind of like tune in and feel the anger, we start to feel the discomfort of it. And then it's just natural. We start to turn away from it. Or it's, the anger starts to arise not as often. This is a practice. It is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But when we start to really notice, like, yeah, this actually is not helpful. In fact, it's painful. then our system starts to adjust itself and we start to do it less. But it starts with our paying attention. So thank you. Anybody else have a comment or a question?
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. That was very helpful. I just found it very insightful and interesting how you talked a lot about reframing, how to love others, love yourself, and really deal with people who can be irritating, and wishing them the best, and that we really can't make others' choices for them, but still wishing them the best and really making ourselves full at the same time.
Yeah. It's quite something, right? How often when people are irritating, we're like, well, don't you just please do that thing and then you'll stop being so irritating, right? And then, but of course they don't do that thing or stop doing that thing or whatever it is. But sometimes we don't even recognize that we're kind of leaning in and trying to force them. Yeah, great. Thank you for sharing. Any other?
I thought that using the term mildly annoying lightens up the situation at hand. Like if you're currently being annoyed by someone, but overall they're kind of only mildly annoying, like it's a good like term to use to counteract the overwhelming annoyance in the moment. So
yeah, great, thank you. There's no need for us to start with the person that we dislike the most, who pushes all our buttons, right? We're just going to start where it's mildly annoying. It's that little irritant. Sometimes those are the people we love, too, right? The same people.
Thank you. I really loved the reminder about being curious when strong feelings arise, because when I have that language or can just give myself that like tiny bit of space between me and this really strong, it always, I get so much more information. And it ends up can be helpful or useful. And when I don't remember to just get curious, I feel like really like that with those feelings.
Yeah.
And so I want to just get above them a little bit and get some information. And so I was really, really grateful for that reminder. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Because for me, kind of like this word curious kind of reminds me of being a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, what is this?
Yeah.
Can be a little lightheartedness as well as introducing a little space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't get to talk about this in my group, but I was just thinking about it as we've been talking about so many juicy things. I appreciate you bringing up anger, but I just didn't really notice till now how difficult it kind of is to deal with anger. Because I've experienced anger in my family where people explode and, you know, they get really entangled in their anger. And that's one way of expressing, and that's kind of the main way I think about anger. But then I think of the other way, which is the way I've taken it, which is just repress it and don't, you know, do that. And I'm realizing how both sides are still not good, you know, like either full expression without regulation or like full repression without expressing anything. And so trying to think of where that middle ground is with anger, like how can you respect it without acting out, I guess was the good word that was used.
That's fantastic. Right, to figure out what is a way in which I can acknowledge the existence of this emotion, but not have it boss me around or push me around. Yeah, it's a beautiful endeavor and not necessarily an easy one, right?
Yeah, and I'm always reminded of like nonviolent communication when I come here, and it just reminds me, like I always put so much blame on the people who are expressing the anger, but it's, you know, everyone has their part to play, and it's like reminding myself that like I have anger too, even though it doesn't express itself in that way. I need to learn how to work with it just as much as anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I have to admit, I was a little bit hesitant about anger. Okay, it says happy hour, happy anger. I hesitate. I wasn't quite sure how that was going to go. So I'm glad that I brought it up. We have questions for, or time for one more comment if somebody has a question or a comment. Oh, Nick.
I like when you said that anger sometimes brings energy. Most of the time, anger brings energy. And it's really skillful to how we use that energy. And in my past, when I was growing up, the energy of anger really helped me to do the things which other people feel harder in their life. Like, and other thing I appreciate about the antidote of anger as loving kindness. And so analogy came in my mind, a simile my teacher in India used to give me. If I consider a loving kindness as lighting a candle and anger as a darkness, so I lighted a candle to search darkness. Mm. So wherever I'll go, I'll not find the darkness. Mm,
that's fantastic. And
yeah, these two things. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm,
thank you, thank you. That's beautiful. I love this. Thank you, Ake. This idea of there are candles of goodwill, warmth, care, loving kindness. May it light some darkness. Thank you. And I'll stay up here if you have some questions or some comments that you'd like to say. Otherwise, I wish you a wonderful evening. Thank you. Thank you.